clouds away.
I haven't heard this song in a while.
On my way to where the air is clean. Can you tell me how to get to Sesame? It's one of those songs that has not changed in forever.
No, I mean, how long has that show been on? 60 years? 50 years?
Yeah, got to be 60.
The people on the show have been on the show so long, they've gotten married, they've moved on, and had grandkids that
There's
are
that
on the show.
There's that one couple, they've been on forever.
Yeah, they're married for real.
The bald guy?
I think a couple of them are married for real. So, yeah.
It also fits because we have some players here who need to be watching Sesame Street instead of playing the way they play it on the field this year, specifically the third baseman. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get to your calls just in a second, but we need to get to this last night. So, post-game, Alec Bohm, you know, he didn't have another great night. He had the two plays in the field that he was unsure of what he was doing, and it cost Rangers some more pitches. He had the play where he hit the ball down the right field line, probably should have been a hit, and it was a bad call. He was upset. That one, I wasn't that upset. He was upset. He showed some emotion there. But just a rough series for Alec Bohm from start to finish here. And I believe his future on Philadelphia should definitely be on the line. He's not my third baseman next year. Here's Bohm. Let's listen to Bohm after the game in the clubhouse as he reacts to the Phillies losing.
Do you feel like you're at a bit of a crossroads after even playing game two and just had kind of a difficult postseason here?
No. I know where I'll be next.
Guess he told you.
Yeah, well, he thinks. I mean, he's got some bravado for a guy who's not been done that much in the major leagues. Sure he's here next year? I'm not.
Where is he? Is he going to be on Sesame Street?
I don't know where he's going to be.
No, I just thought it was kind of funny. That, number one, that question was brought up, and he answered it defiantly.
As if he knows. Like,
he knows. He knows. I don't know if I would be that confident in the situation that I'm in. Not saying that he did anything personally wrong, but you have to know in a situation like this, Joe, things are going to change.
Well, of course. And then if I'm Dave Dombrowski and I'm looking at the team, I'm taking like a big picture approach. What needs to change? Well, what's one of the things that needs to change is chase at the plate, selectivity at the plate. Bohm asked about, you know, his approach to the plate. Here's what he said after a series where he wasn't very patient. Before last night, I think he saw less than two pitches per plate appearance the first three games. Here's Bohm.
Yeah, I mean, definitely wasn't my best self, and that doesn't feel good, but it is what it is. It's a hard game, and you're not always going to be getting hits and doing all those things, and there's other ways to help the team win, and it just didn't happen.
I think that just gets noticed because when I swing at the first pitch, I usually put it in play and hit it. I don't foul it off. I don't swing and miss. So the at-bat ends right there, and then I don't get a hit. And, oh, he's swinging at the first pitch. He needs to see pitches. But I'm up there. I'm an aggressive hitter. I'm not going to change who I am. That's how I've been my whole career. That's what's got me here. And if they throw the ball over the plate, I'm ready to hit it. And I'm not going to think too much about all that other stuff and just go up there. And every time I stand there with the bat on my shoulder and see a pitch, it's right down the middle. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword.
Not going to change who I am, says Alec Bohm, after he hits 077 in a playoff series.
That's very defiant. In a situation where you know that something has to change, I think he has to be a little bit more tactful when asked that question in that moment because of the way his response will be received, especially coming off of the fact that you didn't score a whole lot of runs in the last game. So I think that a little bit of him was probably a little upset because of the question that was asked of him, and he was just being a little bit defiant. But you have to know, like, you're not doing the approach that you're taking right now, and I'm not talking about him individually. I'm just saying this as a team.
Right.
Something has to change. You can't go into it thinking that the results are going to be different. That was one of the things that happened with the Eagles when we went to the last NFC Championship game and won it. Big Red felt like we didn't need any receivers. Somebody must have told him, like, you're drunk. Something wrong with you because we need one. And they went out and got T.O. And when you went out and got T.O., your fortunes changed. And I think that was one of the biggest blind spots that Andy Reid, Coach Reid, had when he was here. And I think he learned from that mistake when he went to Kansas City.
So this fits with everything we've heard from them all night last night into today. that there's a sense, there's two things. One, complacency I felt like they got in the middle of the season. But two, trust us, we got this, guys, is the like, that's what I keep hearing from the Phillies. And I keep questioning, do you really have this?
Mm-mm.
By the way, you know, if Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani or Juan Soto or Bryce Harper want to tell me after they struggle in a playoff series, I'm not going to change who I am, I'm going to say, okay, you're great, right? Like, you've shown for years you're great at this. It's probably a small sample. That is some big talk from a guy who in his career, over 162 games, averages 16 home runs and a .277 batting average. I'm not going to change who I am. You're not that good.
You're not that guy.
You're not that guy. It actually reminded us of a couple other moments in Philadelphia sports over the years. Who we got first here? Which one of our favorites is this?
Since we're on the Eagles thing,
yeah.
It reminded me very much, almost like verbatim, of what a certain stubborn old quarterback for the Eagles used to say all the time.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm frustrated. I think everyone in this locker room is frustrated. You know, you don't go out there, play 60 minutes to lose. You know, that's not in the back of your mind. You know, we want to fight, scratch, claw, do everything we can to find a way to win these ball games. And it's obviously not happening in the last couple of weeks. And so as far as confidence and all that, for me, you know, is what it is. I'm the same player. You know, I'm going to go cut it loose. I'm going to, you know, be the same guy and give it my all, you know, every single game, every single play, and hopefully look up and see that we're winning a lot more of these games. But right now we're not. So we got to look hard at ourselves in the mirror.
Oh, it's a trip down memory lane. It is what it is. I'm the same player.
Is what it is. Shouldn't be in any of these guys' vocabulary.
It should not. Not
so if you're
you
not that good.
Yeah. Bad analogy time. If you're constantly trying to date, and you constantly are coming up short in the dating game, maybe you should start looking at yourself and quit blaming everybody else.
Maybe you should change.
Yeah, maybe there's something about what you're doing or what you're projecting.
It's a good analogy.
Yeah, it is.
That's actually one of your better ones.
What do you mean? I haven't had a bad one.
No, dude, you're like 500 on the analogy.
No, I've been hitting mine apart. I've been making contact.
Well, right.
That was a good one.
It was. No, you're right. That was a good one.
So we have the Wentz comparison.
Wentz.
Who else we got?
I don't love that he's also being compared to this guy.
I am who I am. It is what it is.
They really all said the same thing.
Celebrate all the stuff he does well.
Glenn, not now. Not now, Glenn.
Glenn Rivers.
So we've gone to Ben Simmons, Carson Wentz territory with Alec Bohm. Wonderful.
Except where we're at.
But you know what we've never had with Alec? The super highs of Wentz or Simmons.
Right. Like, they were both better players than Alec Bohm's ever been.
Of course they were. 2017 Carson, obviously, and at moments with Ben before the stubbornness and the injuries and the head case stuff.
Give him time, Joe. He's in the daycare.
He's only 28 years old.
Yeah.
Only happens. Pushing 30.
He's my age. I mean, am I the daycare or the midday show?
Well, you get a little
emotional at times.
Yeah, sometimes.
Especially when he disagrees with one of us.
No, yeah. I'm always happy all the time.
I'm coming in.
And the best when callers are like, well, I just got done yet yelled at by Kyle. All right, so let's talk to JD in Southwest Philly. What's up, JD?
Man, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
I think Kyle might have waited to bring me up because this is all right, full disclosure. I've never liked Alex Wentz, right? I've never liked
him, Alex Wentz.
Right?
Really?
I like that. That's good today. Yeah.
Call me old school, but I think my corner outfielders and my corner infielders should be power hitters, not a 6'5", 225-pound flat hitter, right? So I've never liked them, right? And I was talking to Cal when I first called, and I would love for somebody, you know, somebody that got time to kind of go in and take a look at this because I would love to see what Bomb hit or whatever his name is. I would love to see what he hit after the trade deadline, right? Because you got this kid in the minors that's tearing it up, right? Tearing it up just on a fast track. They're not switching his position, right? They keeping him at third base. This guy thinks he's the future third baseman. So if he feels threatened and sees this kid in the trade that comes and they don't want to get rid of this kid for nothing, or we're not trading him, he's not on the block. He's a part of our future. He's in our plans. If he's a part of our future, where do you think he's gonna play at? Do you think this guy's like mentally weak? That like do you think like he went in the tail at the end in the second half of the season because they didn't trade this guy and they know he knows he's coming for him. Did anybody even think about that?
So JD, it's an interesting point. Aiden Miller is the prospect, and people are saying he's the best Phillies prospect probably since, you know, the Hamels and Rollins and Utley group and Howard. Like, it's been a long time since they've developed a player this good. So I pulled it up here, JD. Alec Bohm, after the All-Star break, hit .238 with 4 home runs. He was horrendous.
So that reminds me of Carson Wentz as well. Maybe it's from the same part of the country. Maybe it's a thing about that. I don't know. But the thing is, right, this team can be fixed, fellas, right? You get a center fielder, you get a left fielder, and I mean the only people you could probably trade is Bob and Stock, right? Go and get me an eighth or ninth guy. Like that's another thing. I'm sick of this analytical approach to baseball. The reason our bullpen suck, right, is because we got a bunch of 5, 6, and 7 inning guys, and that works during that piecemealing and finding who you want in the eighth or ninth inning. That works during a long season, 162 baseball game. It don't work in playoffs. In the playoffs, you need a guy. You need an eighth and ninth inning guy that you can say, listen, here's the ball in the game. You could get that with Stott and Baum. You could get an eighth or ninth inning guy. And then you take the rest of these guys who are good middle relievers and you put them in the sixth and seventh inning, and then we get there. The pitching staff doesn't need to be touched. And then, like I said, you trade those guys. You trade them. You maybe get some relievers, and you find some smart baseball players that you can sign for 2 or 3 years until the young guys are ready to come up, Aiden and Crawford. And that's my approach. That's what I think could be done to fix the team.
Well, JD, we appreciate the phone call. You know what's coming out today? The truth. How people really feel about some of these players is coming to the forefront, because when the team's winning, you may not love every player on the team, but you're into the group, right? You're excited about the group, and you want the Phillies to win. I'm starting to hear it. Like the truth about how some people feel about individual players in this team. Bohm's going to be the one. I would trade him tomorrow.
He catches strikes.
Yeah, and I think he's very tradable. He's not expensive yet. He's not signed. They do have the left side infielder. Now, Miller's played more short, but he looks like a third baseman size-wise. Also, they could sign Alec Bregman this offseason. They get a legitimate all-star, real all-star third baseman that's won World Series. I do it in a heartbeat.
No one gets it worse in this town than a replaceable player with a bad attitude.
That's a bad combination.
It feels like when you talk about the odd man out, it feels like he is the guy, because everybody else has those contracts that would be a little bit harder to move.
Of course.
He feels like the odd man out.
And at least he knows he's going to be here next year.
Well, he says so. Yeah, he knows.
He hopes so.
Yeah, he thinks. All right, Drew in Westchester. What's up, Drew?
Hi, folks. I don't typically do, a lot of much yelling when I call, but I just need to go on a little bit of a rant here, if you'll let me get it.
The floor is yours, Drew. Go ahead. Go for it.
I appreciate it, Joe. It's really puzzling to me that a Hall of Fame executive in Dombrowski, became convinced or thought that just, vibes could, kind of overcome just, poor fundamentals and a bad approach. And I know it's totally illogical, but the guy who I'm just really angry about, who I just can't wait to be off this team, is Garrett Stubbs, because I just think back to last year, and I have this hype video in my head where he's not saying it in a mean way, but he's kind of saying if you're not with us or if you don't get us, then get out of Philly. And I don't need a guy who grew up in California, who played for an Astros team that cheated their way to a World Series in 2019, claiming he represents the city. Me, you, Kyle, Hugh, all the callers, all the listeners, we're going to be fans, God willing, 30, 40 years from now. Like he's just passing through here. So the daycare, the vibes, it's all over, and we got to get back to just playing smart, fundamental baseball. And I just keep honing. You're done, Garrett. And I do think keeping him over Marshawn around the All-Star break is kind of a little bit of symbolism as to how they attack the season and all. So I'm just really angry about that.
I get it. Drew, I think Stubbs is the symbol of it, right? He's just the backup catcher, but you're right. It's the symbol of, we don't need to improve. We don't need to turn these spots over. We're good enough. I mean, and Drew, they weren't. I mean, they trusted their stars to carry them, and they let that bottom of the order just hang out there. And Drew, I go back to this. The last two deadlines for Dombrowski are a stain on a Hall of Fame career. To go Lorenzen, Rodolfo Castro, and then Estevez, Hayes, and Banks with two potential World Series in the balance. It's mind-boggling that that's what he did.
It's been really disappointing, especially because there was no dominant team in baseball this
right.
year. Like, this felt like the year to separate from the pack. And yeah, like Stubbs, like I don't need a guy who does like no work on the group project and like still expects an A, you know, just kind of like being like a spokesperson for the team. I just think about the Diamondbacks, like, pool thing and all. But yeah, look, I just remember, like, you know, maybe Juan Soto is like T.O. or maybe like Mike Trout or something. But I just remember coming off like 2011. Like, I was still so bummed that like I didn't watch opening day in like 2012. And I'm not saying I'm going to do that this year, but they have a lot of work to do to regain our trust. And it's going to be the type of thing where like it's going to be hard to enjoy the regular season next year because it's all about October. And this group, I know they're going to make changes and I want changes, but they just have a lot of baggage on them now.
They do, Drew. It's a good phone call. So Drew mentioned 2012. I'm going to give two examples of why they just can't run back. Sometimes, Hugh, you don't know when the cliff is coming in sports until you fall off it, right?
Yeah,
so
true.
Two teams, the 2012 Phillies. I remember going that year, not many people thought that team was about to fall off the cliff, but they were older,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't add young players that offseason. They just ran back, right? They hoped Ryan Howard would get healthy off the Achilles. They still had Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, and guess what happened to that team? They fell off the cliff. Roy Halladay's career is basically over at that point. You don't know when it's going to happen until it happens. Another team, Dave Dombrowski's Tigers. They went to the World Series in 2012. They went to the LCS in 2013. They got knocked out in the Division Series in 2014. Does that remind you of any team around here? World Series, LCS, Division
Us?
Series? Us. The 2015 Tigers won 76 games. Like, you can't just run it back and say, well, we were good the last 3 years, we'll be good the fourth year when you have guys in their 30s. They got to do something here. And we're all going to point to Soto, and I'll scream for Soto until he signs somewhere else. That's like their get-out-of-jail-free card. He's 26.
Yeah,
He's,
you want to infuse it with some young talent that is actually...
Special.
Yes.
Not just good, but special. Yeah, I've been... Boy, that would, if there's one thing that could like perk them back up to get everyone excited again, it's that. Does the owner have the stomach for that kind of contract?
Yeah, because that's you talking about 600 yams, ain't you? At least. That's just the conversation. You got to come 600 yams just to be in the conversation.
Well, and the part that really makes it like extra is I think if he doesn't land, it's either the Yankees or the Mets. Like, we can't have the Mets beat us and then get Soto.
No.
It's like, then that's trouble.
I mean, if they didn't have Tobias Turner sucking up $300 million, we might be the top bidders.
He is Tobias Turner.
Tobias Turner, that is crazy to me. I'm not saying he isn't, but, you know, when you talk about careers here as a Philly and a Sixer, I mean, he did give me an all-star. I mean, regardless of how you feel, if it was earned or not. I mean, in a short period of time.
We're raising a banner for Trey Turner's all-star!
It hurts worse when it's both of y'all.
Who cares about an all-star?
I'm just saying, you know, when you made the comparison, I just said, well, he did make it to an all-star. That's all I said. That's all I said.
Hugh, is Embiid's tenure with the Sixers a success because he won an MVP if he doesn't win a title?
I didn't say that. I'm using your logic.
I'm applying your logic.
Well, he is a Hall of Famer.
So a success.
I didn't say that.
Well,
I mean, it would be nice to have a championship, but... You know, from his perspective, it probably is. He's an Olympian.
No. I'm asking about from our perspective. I don't care about his perspective.
Have you seen his?
Don't deflect.
I'm deflecting.
This
like
is
a
big time deflecting.
It's a filibuster by you.
I am deflecting. You see his shoes? His NBA, what is the MVP shoes that he got for the Olympics?
I don't give a shit.
I don't even think he liked them. Like, did you see the picture? I don't even think, like, when he got the shoes and they presented them to him, he was like, eh.
I did see him. Yeah, he didn't love them.
Keep deflecting, bud. You know I'm right.
Yeah, I'm just saying. He didn't like his shoes. That's all.
All-star.
He's
three more presidential elections left on this contract. Three.
Yeah, that's a lot. That is a lot.
Hugh will be in his 60s.
I'll be
60. Kyle will be pushing 40. I'll be pushing 50 when this Trey Turner contract's over.
I might not see the end of it. With the way this is going,
you'll be here,
dude. The way Philly sports have gone, I'm not making another 10 years. Are you kidding me?
You're in your 20s.
I'm not. Barely. Yeah. I'm not going to make it, man.
And then by the time that rolls around, I'm gonna be on the air arguing about politics and it's just gonna be cut Michael.
Cut his mic.
What the hell is he talking about?
Let's go to TR in Winfield. What's up, TR?
Hey,
TR. What's up,
man?
Sorry, man. I'm in the gym training.
Oh, you're in the okay. You in the gym training, and you're on this phone talking to us. Listen to the
radio. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Y'all my favorite. Yeah, yeah. WIP number one. So, yo, man, it's more so the players' problem, man. Like they go through all the whole seasons playing, get to the big lights, and what happens? They turn right into deers, scared to let their hands go, just standing there watching the ball go by instead of letting their hands go. You know, it's like you said, it's a mindset. The mindset. They were scared, man. And that theme song y'all played. Then they came out playing like they need to go see the wizard, man. I mean, like they said, the Lollipop Kids. We are calling the Lollipop Kids. They came out with that.
We going back in the day
we
with
are.
These songs.
Yeah, they play. They need to go see the wizard. They didn't have any heart in the series at all.
They need courage, like the Calgary Lions. They went up there like they were stuck. Look in their eyes. Their eyes were just like they were scared. The fans had them scared and let their hands go. And I just think got to before the next season. You know, whatever changes need to be made, make them. Other than that, you know, I'm down my squad. You know, I'm down. I'm Philly boys. The fraud. Now they the fraud in Philly, not the fighting Phillies until they come back and win something.
Ooh, that's it, you like know that. What? It's good, the though. TR, that's yep. a good TR. We appreciate that's a good one.
Strong.
We've hit some good things this segment. We really have.
Dude,
we got Hugh deflecting the frauds. The
Tobias
fraud Phillies. Tobias Turner.
The fraud and Phillies. Yeah. The fraud and Phillies is really good.
They right now they are say. The fraud and Phillies.
That's strong. That is so strong.
Yeah. It is a worse contract than Tobias. It really is.
Because of the length of it.
Yeah, it's more than double.
Yeah.
You know,
to be fair, he need to make a couple All-Stars before you know it could be.
How about
but
an
Tobias
MVP
didn't make
ballot?
Any, Tobias didn't make any All-Stars as a professional.
But here, so
can
here's
we
the
stop
thing.
With the All-Stars?
Here's the thing.
Then he went,
I don't care about
when,
All-Stars.
When they signed Tobias, everyone kind of knew they overpaid. People thought they were getting something special in trade. It's like you go out to a restaurant.
This is true.
You like, you know, if you went to a steakhouse, you and you paid a lot for a steak.
I've done that.
And it's not good.
I've done that this year.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say the steakhouse
No,
name.
Don't do that, but.
I'm not going to say it, but I was. Oh,
See, that's how I feel about Turner. That's
it. Yeah, it was.
You ordered an award-winning steak, and it gave you diarrhea, and you're like, won an award.
It wasn't that. The mark of a good steak, in my opinion, is one where you don't have to put anything on it, and it's good.
Well, Turner needs a lot.
He needs a made one. Put it like this, Kyle. When I cook my steaks, I look forward to putting the A1 on
I can't wait till we get to spring training.
You probably butcher them.
Guys, have you put any A1 on Turner this spring training?
I put A1 on the steaks that I make.
Dude, the smoke alarm's going off.
Yeah.
It's a three-alarm fire. 215-592.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But that's the way I feel about Turner.
It won an award, Hugh.
It's a $300 million steak. I got to put A1 on.
I'm traumatized now. You brought that up, and it was not
cheap. That was a good analogy, wasn't it?
It was not. That steak was not cheap.
Yep, you paid $50 for that thing.
And this is why I'm plant-based. 50? Because of things like
and you've
this.
Been on the toilet the rest of the day.
No, it wasn't that. It was just like, that don't taste like this $80 steak.
And this is what I've been trying to say about Turner for 2 years. 215-592-9494.
I got it. I get it.
You get it now. It got through.
We'll keep hitting
your phone calls, reacting to everything Phillies. Where do they go from here? Topper and Harper both discussed after the game. That's the Extra Calls. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 W.